You're listening to The Christian's Hour. Welcome to The Christian's Hour broadcast. I'm program host Stan Smelser, and from all of us at The Christian's Hour, Happy Thanksgiving. During this month of November, we've been considering how to know the will of God. One of the writers of the Bible's New Testament, Paul, wrote in the book of 1 Thessalonians, "Be joyful always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." In today's message, Aaron Brockett unpacks God's will for us in giving thanks. Aaron is the lead minister with Traders Point Christian Church, with multiple campuses in Indianapolis, Indiana. Now, to share how giving thanks from the heart goes hand in hand with life-changing transformation, which in turn puts us right in the sweet spot of God's will for us, here's Aaron Brockett.
Today, I just want to look at this word that oftentimes we underestimate or overlook the significance of this word in our lives. I know that I do. And it's just simply this word, thanks. Just thanks. And you know what? Studies reveal that showing gratitude is really good for us. Like, it improves psychological and physical health, that it reduces depression, it boosts energy levels, you sleep better, you live longer. Not to mention that the person that you're expressing gratitude towards, it just makes their day. And so I think that most of us know that expressing gratitude is a good thing, but I think that we can maybe be tempted to look at it and go, well, that's not that big of a deal. I mean, after all, it's just kind of like good manners, right? Like, it's something we know we need to do, and we need to do it more. And so I think that for many of us, we think that thanks or gratitude is just simply good manners, but it certainly wouldn't be a sin that we need to repent of, right? Like, I don't know, in my 20 years of pastoring, I don't know that I've ever once had anybody come up to me and say, "Hey, pastor, could we talk for a minute? Like, I just really need someone to listen to me, and I need you to pray for me, and I'm just really, really struggling with something." I'm like, okay, what is it? What is it? "Well, I just don't say thank you enough, and I'm just really struggling with this," and I've never once had that happen. And so I think that we kind of look at this as, well, it's not that big of a deal. And certainly, like, it's like a sin that God winks at, right? Now, here's what I know, right? And it's not much, so pay attention. I know right now that I need to hear thanks from people in my life more than I think that I do. See, maybe some of you are like me in the sense that you work really hard, but you don't do it for thanks, right? Like, you're a self-starter, you're goal-oriented, you're going to get stuff done, and you're, in fact, you have a hard time receiving gratitude. Here's the second thing that I know. I know that people in my life need to hear me say it, not just think it, not just feel it, but they need to hear me say it more than I assume that they do. In fact, I was with a group of pastors this last week. It was about six of us, and I knew one or two of them, but I didn't know everybody. And so we only spent 2 days together, and it was a really good conversation, really good dialogue. And at the very end of our time, the facilitator of the group, right before we went to the airport, he goes, "Hey guys, I want you to go around the room, and I want you to look at each other, and I want you to express your gratitude for one another. Just say thank you for something that you've noticed about this other person's character and their contributions to the group." And we had just met, like, we'd only spent 48 hours together. And so I thought, man, I don't know how this is going to go. And so we spend a little bit of time thinking about it. We go around the circle, and I tell you what, man, things got deep real quick. And there were tears that were shed. I mean, every time, like, somebody would be the person that we were expressing gratitude to, their whole body language changed. In fact, at one point in the group, there's a guy, he's really going through a difficult time. And one of the guys expressed his gratitude, just one or two things that he'd noticed about him. Here's what the guy did. He threw his head back, closed his eyes, began to cry, and took both hands and just slapped them on his face and just began to weep. And something tells me that an expression of gratitude was long overdue in that guy's life. What about you? What about the people that you know and love? Did you know that in the New Testament, we are repeatedly urged, like repeatedly, to be grateful? The question that I want to answer in our short time together is why? Why are we repeatedly urged to be grateful? Is it because God really wants us to be people with polite manners? I don't think so. I don't think that's a bad thing, but I don't think so. Why is it that God wants us to be grateful? And so to begin to answer that question, I want to look at an interaction that Jesus has in Luke chapter 17. So look at what it says, picking up in verse 11 of chapter 17. It says that as Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. So these were these two regions. There was a separation between the two. Actually, the Galileans and the Samaritans, they hated each other. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy. Leprosy was this horrible disease that there was no known cure. It was highly contagious. And so if you got leprosy, people didn't want to be around you. They didn't want to have anything to do with you. It was a death sentence. And so 10 men had it, and they stood at a distance. Now you know why. They cried out to Jesus, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And he looked at them and he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Right? Now that's kind of an interesting thing to say. Now there was an 8-day cleansing ritual that the priests of the day would do. So that's possibly what Jesus is referring to, meaning that they know about that. But Jesus does, notice what he doesn't say. He didn't say, "Hey, go to the priests and have them do the 8-day cleansing ceremony." It doesn't say that. He says, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And it's almost as if, knowing what's going to happen, Jesus is kind of setting up a little show and tell here. Because it says, as they went, as they obeyed, they were cleansed of their leprosy. I love how a theologian named J.C. Ryle puts it. He says that help met them on the path of obedience. That's a little side nugget. You might tuck that away and put it in your back pocket. That's not the primary point of this message, but maybe some of us need to hear it. Is it some of us are waiting for God to come through, then we'll obey? God says, "Why don't you obey, then I'll come through." See, the Holy Spirit's a conservationist. He only gives power as it's needed. And so these guys have no guarantee of anything. Jesus says, "Hey, just go show yourselves to the priests." And so as they go, I love this, as they are walking along, they go, "Hey, I don't have that rash anymore. I've been healed. Jesus has cleansed me of my leprosy." Now, check this out. In verse 15, it says, "Only one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back." Only one came back to Jesus, shouting, "Praise God." He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. So this indicates right here that out of the 10, there was a good number of them that were Galileans. In other words, they had home field advantage. But this guy, the one that was healed, maybe possibly the only one that was healed, he was from Samaria. Meaning he's the only one that took the effort, the time, and the energy to come back to Jesus to say thank you. It would have required him to go out of his way. But they don't even bother to go back to Jesus to say thank you. No, it was the one outsider, it was the one Samaritan that came back to express his appreciation to Jesus. Now catch Jesus' question here, verse 17. Jesus says, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Like, where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Have you ever done something nice for someone? Maybe you picked up the bill. Maybe you went out of your way. Maybe you gave the compliment. Maybe you helped someone move. Maybe you waved someone in front of you in heavy traffic. And you waved them in front and they didn't even acknowledge you. They didn't even give you a thank you wave. Everybody knows you do the thank you wave. And so you do something nice for someone, and then they don't express gratitude in any way. This stings a little bit. And these 9 men, they never come back to say thanks. Now, they were religious enough to know where to go find a priest to do the 8-day ritual cleansing, but their hearts hadn't been changed. There wasn't anything about the grace of God that had come to them through Jesus that had changed them in any way. I'm sure that there was all kinds of excuses that they had. It was worth me, actually, this past week, doing an inventory of my own heart and going, why don't I express gratitude more than I should? And I just actually came up with a list and see if you can identify with any one of these or maybe all of them. One of the reasons why I don't often express gratitude more than I should is just disappointment. It's just plain old disappointment. In other words, unmet expectations. Like, yeah, you did something nice for me. I really appreciate that. But it actually wasn't what I wanted. It actually wasn't what I needed. Like, that was your love language, not mine. And so, thanks, but no thanks. Another one is this, is just simply oversight, right? Like I meant to, I had every intention of it. I just got busy. I didn't get around to sending the email. It just wasn't on my radar. And then 1 week turned into two, and then two turned into three. And then it would just be kind of awkward if I actually said thank you after that because, you know, enough time's gone by. Another is an assumption. Like they already know how I feel. Like it doesn't need to be verbalized. They know. But do they? And actually, even if they do, it'd be nice to hear it. Another is underestimate. Like, it's really not all that necessary. It's nothing more than polite, good manners, but nothing more than that. Another is just, I'm a little bit embarrassed. Like, it's going to be awkward. I have a hard time expressing myself. It'd be easier not to. I think a lot of guys struggle with this. I'm not saying that ladies don't either, but I think especially this is true for us guys. Another is just, I'm apprehensive. I just have a hard time articulating myself. Like, how will this be perceived? Are they going to think I'm trying to kiss up? I don't want to be a kiss up. I think a big one is entitlement. Entitlement is just basically like somebody owes me, and until I receive what I'm owed, I'm not saying thank you to anybody. And entitlement is that thing that locks us up more than anything else. Let me give you two more. One is envy. Like I see what other people have, and it's just really hard for me to express gratitude. So I don't want them to get a big head. You ever heard somebody say that? Hey, I was gonna compliment you, but I didn't want you to get a big head. Well, thank you. All right. Didn't know that it was your job to keep my head small. Can I just actually say, like, that should never come out of your mouth, like, ever. Like, even if the person does have a big head, even if they do have a pride problem, let God shrink their head. He doesn't need you, all right? You just express gratitude. You just give encouragement. I bet you God will use your encouragement to humble them. I bet you he will. Let me give you one more. Worry. Man, worry's a big one. It's like when all you can see are your problems and the things that aren't going really great in life and all the things that you're like, man, if those things would resolve themselves, then I'd be happy. Man, all I can see are the problems in front of me. That'll lock down gratitude faster than anything. See, what Jesus says next to this Samaritan is really fascinating. He says in verse 19, Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. That's really interesting that he puts it that way, because I had to kind of go back and reread that this last week, because I'm like, now wait a second, weren't all 10 healed? And they weren't. This is actually the first time and the only time this word is used in the whole passage. If you go back and read it, Jesus cleansed the lepers, but the Samaritan was the only one that was healed. And that's an interesting observation. They were cleansed of their leprosy, but they weren't healed. And there's a difference. And it's a subtle warning for many of us that maybe for many of us, we're asking God to deliver us out of our circumstances. We're asking God to free us from something, and he will. But it doesn't necessarily mean that our hearts will change. You can be cleansed, but not healed. See, what Jesus is after is transformation. He's not after your religion. He's not after your behavior. He's not after your moralism. He's after your heart, which means that he won't always give you what you want. God refuses to be a cosmic vending machine where it's like the only time I go to him is when I want something. And if he doesn't give me what I ordered, then he must not be good, or he must not be real. Or maybe you're just not God. And Jesus is really concerned about the shaping of your heart. And I don't know about you, it's been in the difficult seasons when I don't get what I pray for and don't get what I want that actually drives it down to a heart level, to this place called transformation. And transformation is never a transaction, ever. And that's the problem with treating gratitude like manners, is that we kind of treat it like it's a transaction, but it's not. Jesus is more interested in the development of our hearts. And I think this is what a guy named Paul was trying to get at when he writes a letter to a young leader that he was mentoring named Timothy. And he says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. And he says to him, Timothy, in the last days, there will be very difficult times. And we would all go, yeah. For people will love only themselves and their money. And we would go, yeah. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents. And all the parents said, Yeah, amen, right? And ungrateful. Like, whoa, that seemed to be a little bit out of place. Ungrateful? Really? Like, why is that in there? It seems to be a bit out of place. But it's there because one of the marks of the journey towards transformation is a heart of gratitude. And some of the most humble, secure, confident people say thank you a lot. And so what does gratitude do? Well, let me just run through a few things. This is what gratitude does. First of all, gratitude helps me put things in perspective. It right-sizes things. It's like a set of corrective lenses on my entitled eyes. My wife and I, when we got married, we had an outdoor ceremony. We got married in her aunt and uncle's backyard in June in southwest Missouri, where the weather can change on a dime. And the whole day, it was sunny and beautiful out. And then about 30 minutes before the wedding ceremony was to start, a dark cloud parked itself right over the house. And 30 minutes before the ceremony started, it just poured. And it wouldn't let up. And we're waiting. We're postponing the ceremony. We wait about 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Finally, we're like, we got to get the show on the road. And I'm like, man, God, what do I need to repent of? Like, did I do something wrong? You know, I'm just like, oh, this is horrible. And so, you know, we start to have the ceremony in the pouring rain. It was amazing. Like, the musicians almost got electrocuted. And, like, the groomsmen are just, like, soaked all the way through their tuxedos. And so we do the whole ceremony. We get done. We go to the receiving line. And then the cloud moves. The sun comes out. And we were, like, receiving people in the receiving line. And there's this group of girls from the Caribbean islands. And they walk up to us with these big smiles. And they said, you must feel so blessed. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, it rained on your wedding day. Like, it poured down rain on your wedding day. We're like, what are you talking about? And they said, you see, in our culture, rain is a sign of blessing. And it's so clear to us that God is blessing your marriage. We realized, you know what? We could actually be grateful for this. You mean even that? Even a circumstance like that? Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says this. Be thankful in all circumstances. Really? You mean all? Even the bad ones? Even the difficult ones? Even the tough ones? That's what it says. It says, in every circumstance you face, be thankful. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. You mean it's God's will for me that I would go through tough times? No, it's God's will for you that he would shape your heart. It's God's will for you that you would be transformed. It's God's will for you that you would live a less entitled life and a more grateful life. That's God's will for you. See, I think that for many of us, we think that in order to be grateful, we've got to be happy. And it's the exact opposite. That we express our gratitude and then happiness comes. You can be thankful in every situation. Think about that this week. That means I can be thankful when someone compliments me or criticizes me. That means I can be thankful when someone gives up their seat for me or just stays right where they are, like a lazy bum. That means that when I'm late for a meeting, I can actually go in and express gratitude, meaning I can, instead of walking in and offering an excuse, like, man, the traffic is really bad, I'm so, so sorry, you just walk in and go, man, thank you for your patience. Watch how that changes the meeting. Because you're not entitled when you walk in. You can walk in and you can say, man, thank you so much for sharing that with me. Thank you for the feedback. Thank you for the unsolicited advice. You know, thank you for cutting me off in traffic. You can even thank the person who's being rude. Man, I'm so grateful that I'm not having a crummy day like you. I mean, just try it and just see what that word does to your whole demeanor. Here's the next thing. Gratitude reminds me that it is not about me. And this is so huge because we live in a world and a culture that makes it all about us. In fact, I think I've even seen a billboard that says it's about you. And so we just feel like everything's kind of circled around us. And what gratitude does is it shapes your heart and builds your character. It's one of the fastest ways to take the spotlight off of yourself. Gratitude helps me get over me. And I would say this is a human thing, but this is an especially difficult thing when it enters into like the church family. That's the thing that just brings everything to a screeching halt. But there's something that happens in our spiritual walk, and it's happened in my life. I've seen it. I've noticed it. And I would say it's entitlement. meaning that you've been following Jesus long enough to forget who you were. You've been following Jesus long enough to forget how amazing grace is and that you didn't deserve any of it. You've been following Jesus long enough that actually you don't have very many non-church friends anymore, and it's really easy to judge them and be legalistic. You've been following Jesus long enough that actually the form of the church, meaning the worship and the programs and the teaching and all that, it's the methodology has changed, and you're not happy about it. And so we say things like, well, I'm not being fed anymore, or it's not, I don't get to serve in the way that I want to serve anymore. All of those statements are dripping with entitlement. And I'm saying we got to be so careful. That's when gratitude needs to be reintroduced to our hearts and simply say this, I don't deserve a thing. It is all grace. And actually, I'm going to get in on the mission of God and I'm going to be others focused because rescued people rescue people. That's what they do. Here's the next one. It builds up other people, right? It builds other people up. I would say that gratitude is like the fertilizer for the soil of the relationships of your heart. Hey, here's a thing to actually do a gut check on. Ask yourself, have my relationships and friendships actually been struggling lately? Have they been falling apart? And then look at gratitude. And say, has there been enough gratitude here? The only place in the Bible that it challenges us to be competitive is in showing honor, which is expressing gratitude towards one another. Here's the last one that I'll give you. It's contagious. Gratitude is contagious, man. How about this? Next time somebody comes up and starts gossiping, express gratitude over something and watch how it just stops them. Next time somebody begins to gripe or to complain or to or whatever it is, to whine, just begin to be grateful because those words are contagious too. But man, when you begin to express gratitude, that's contagious because the language of arrogance is complaining and criticizing. The language of humility is gratitude and encouragement. And when I can't be grateful, that's me basically saying other people and God, they still owe me. But God doesn't owe me a thing. Man, it is all grace, and so I'm grateful. There's a old preacher by the name of Charles Spurgeon that preached in London several centuries ago, and there's a story about him talking to a lady in his church, and he was explaining the gospel to her. He was leading her to Christ, and she was a very talkative lady to the point that Spurgeon couldn't get a word in edgewise. And if you know anything about Charles Spurgeon, that's saying a lot. And so he's trying to lead her to Christ, and he gets to this place where it clicks for her, and she responds, and then she says this. She says, oh, Mr. Spurgeon, if Jesus saves me, he will never hear the end of it. And that's a pretty good picture of gratitude. It's like, that's what can get you beyond positive three in a healthy way. To go, oh man, if Jesus saves me, he'll never hear the end of it. I'm going to continue to be grateful, even when the circumstances don't seem to call for it. And some of us, we don't get a pass on this one. It's not like we go, well, I'm just not very good at gratitude. No, actually, none of us are. That's why we need to learn gratitude. That's why it needs to be a daily practice where we remind ourselves to be grateful. So here's this week's homework, all right? I want you to go out and I want you to say thanks this week as much as you possibly can. And I don't want you to make it a transaction. I want it to come at a heart level. Go and say thank you to somebody and then tell them why you're grateful. Man, go and say thanks to someone that you've been taking for granted. Go and say thanks to someone who never asks for it. I bet you they need to hear it. Go and say thanks to somebody that maybe you've been avoiding. There's some drama in their relationship and you just need to go express some gratitude. Go say thanks to someone. It's long overdue. Man, we're just going to express gratitude freely and often. Why? Because it's good manners? No, because changed hearts demand it. Like, I'm going to just live a life of gratitude because of what Jesus has done for me. There's an author and a theologian by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer who lived during World War II. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer got arrested, thrown into prison, where he would eventually be sentenced to death right just before the war ended. And Bonhoeffer wrote some of his most profound writings in that prison cell. And one of them was a statement that simply reads like this. It is only with gratitude that life becomes rich. It is only with gratitude. He wrote that in a prison cell, knowing he'd never see his family again, knowing that death was waiting for him, and yet he still managed to be grateful. And I got to ask, what about my life can I not express gratitude over? You mean you want a rich life? And I'm not talking about monetary wealth. I'm talking about a full, rich, joyous life. Be grateful.
Give thanks to the Lord,
for he is good.
For he is good. Give thanks to the Lord,
for he is good.
For he is good. Give thanks to the Lord,
for he is good.
For he is good. His love endures forever. Lord,
said I know that he is,
for he is good.
Get up and give thanks,
thanks to the Lord,
and he is good.
For he is good.
Get up and give thanks,
thanks to the Lord.
Oh, I know that he is,
for he is good. And his love it endures forever.
His love will
reign forevermore.
His power will
reign forevermore.
His grace will
reign forevermore.
And his peace will
reign forevermore.
His love will
reign forevermore.
His power will
reign forevermore.
His grace will
reign forevermore.
And his peace will
reign forevermore.
Everybody
give thanks to the Lord.
Come on, cause I know
he's good.
Is good.
Everybody give thanks,
thanks to the Lord.
Oh,
for he is good.
Everybody give thanks,
thanks
to the Lord.
For he is good.
His love endures forever.
His love will
reign forevermore.
And his power will
reign forevermore.
His grace will
reign forevermore.
And his peace will
reign forevermore.
His love will His peace will
reign forevermore.
Everybody gotta
give thanks to the Lord.
Cause you know he's been good.
For he is good.
If you know he's been good,
thanks to the
get up and raise your hands.
For he is good. Give thanks to the Lord.
Cause you know he's been good.
For he is good.
Oh, and all
his love endures forever.
Praise the Lord.
His love endures forever.
Today's message. And our thanks also to Acapella Ministries for today's worship music. Looks like a good starting place for knowing the will of God is learning to be grateful in every circumstance. Aaron made the point that Jesus wants us to be grateful as a sign of what is happening in our heart and character, and thankfulness helps us maximize every single moment in life, even the difficult ones. A thankful person is someone who is being transformed, someone who can become aligned with the will of God. If you'd like a copy of today's program, you can download it online from our website, thechristianshour.org. You'll also find us at oneplace.org, iTunes, or Google Play. If you prefer a free copy of this program on CD, just give us a call. Our number is 515-770-2241. That's 515-770-2241. Please leave your name and mailing address when you call. We'll send your free CD. Our website again, thechristianshour.org. From all of us at the Christian's Hour, happy Thanksgiving. And please join us again next week for the Christian's Hour broadcast.